You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, parachutes ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 1.04% APR for 36 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith. What's up?
How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I am just fine. I am just great.
Okay. That great is better than fine.
Yeah, I'm super, super fabulous. Super fabulistic expialidocious.
Because we're about to, you know, make a pop shop for these people.
Yes, that is exactly why. Because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
On this episode of the show, we've got a really fun interview with the rising band Drax Project, who recently nabbed their first pop songs airplay chart hit with the single Woke Up Late featuring Hailee Steinfeld. The New Zealand band stopped by the office to talk all about their beginnings, how they were discovered, how Hailee got on the track, and much more. It's super fun to get to know these guys, so stick around for that in just a bit.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, we hope you do, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. Okay, so since we have a New Zealand band on the show today, we thought we would celebrate the group's homeland by reflecting on some of our favorite Billboard hits from other artists from New Zealand.
Yes.
Ah, see what we did there?
It got us thinking.
So crafty. Actually, there aren't exactly a ton of musicians that have had big hits from New Zealand.
Right. It's a small country, so congratulations to Drax Project.
Yes.
For breaking through here in America.
Yeah.
From your relatively small country.
Yeah.
But one band that we did find was that Crowded House is from New Zealand.
Who can forget Crowded House?
I mean, I feel like I think of them as being British, but yes, they're from New Zealand.
I think a lot of people sometimes lump in Australians, New Zealanders, and English people all together because there's a common thread of the Commonwealth.
And I don't know this for a fact.
Is New Zealand part of the Commonwealth?
I don't know the answer to that.
I
was going to say I don't know this for a fact, but it just feels like Crowded House like came up with like a UK movement. You know?
Oh, maybe it was that way around.
Yeah.
We have no factoid about
that.
We've just rambled off.
Is it a Commonwealth? I don't know. Anyway.
But what we do know,
yes,
is Crowded House had a big hit with Don't Dream It's Over back in April of 1987. It hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And then the band notched another top 10 hit later that same year with Something So Strong.
You have to sing that.
Which peaked at number 7. I'm only going to sing that part.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Neil Finn from Crowded House part of the Fleetwood Mac lineup right now?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right. I wonder,
you know,
if he'll actually
do a
be a permanent
things.
Part of Fleetwood Mac.
It's possible,
we
the way things
see.
Are going.
We shall see.
So what about OMC?
Remember them?
Yeah,
how bizarre,
course.
How bizarre you would bring them up. How bizarre. Well, the ex's lone Billboard charting hit, How Bizarre, hit number one on the pop songs chart back in August of 1997. But actually, the song never made it to the Billboard Hot 100 chart, because back then, you needed to have a commercially released single available in order to chart, and it didn't, so it never hit the Hot 100. Crazy times back in the late 90s.
Yeah, but it was a huge radio hit, so obviously pop songs.
How Bizarre.
Chart.
How Bizarre.
Such a good song. And then there's, surprisingly maybe, Daniel Bedingfield.
That one I didn't know.
By the way, I love Daniel Bedingfield and his sister Natasha, but as it turns out, Daniel is a New Zealand citizen, but Natasha isn't, according to the internet.
According to the internet, he was born there, right?
Yes, that's what I saw. And then he moved to England when he was a baby, so probably then Natasha was born. They're only 2 years apart. Natasha was only born 2 years after him, so it must have been when he was a baby.
Yeah.
That he came to England.
Super baby. But I guess still technically
it counts. New Zealand claims him.
Even though his formative years were in England.
Yes.
So maybe he can claim both countries.
Yes.
It's kind of like the Bee Gees. I think the Bee Gees were born in England, but they moved to Australia when they were very, very little.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, hmm.
But in England, everyone kind of claims Kylie as their own. But she was born in Australia, and she is definitely Australian, and she got her stardom by the Australian soap opera Neighbours, but Neighbours was shown in England,
mm-hmm.
and
so see, that's... this is why the cultures are all very,
it's very
cross-pollinated.
Commingled. Yeah.
But Daniel Bedingfield's number one hit?
What
was that big deal?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Not number one, rather.
Yeah, I was like, the whole point of this is to talk about chart stats. well, he actually didn't have a number one hit on the Hot 100, but he did have a top 10 hit. Mm. Gotta Get Through This, which hit number 10 on the Hot 100 back in September of 2002.
Love that song, and very much remember everyone thinking that it was a woman singing at first because of the kind of sped up high vocals. Such a good song. And of course, I feel like people are like, why aren't you talking about Lorde yet? Because Lorde.
It's Lorde. You know.
She's probably the most prominent New Zealand musician in America of the last decade, having enormous success with her debut full-length album Pure Heroine and its follow-up Melodrama, which topped the Billboard 200 and earned a Grammy Award nomination for Album of the Year.
Lorde has also notched a raspy throat. She's also notched 8 hits on the Hot 100 thus far, with 3 of those hitting the top 40. Actually, 4 of those, sorry. Greenlight, Yellow Flicker Beat, Team, and of course, the number one hit, Royals.
And then another name that came up when we were chatting about this is Kimbra.
Indeed. She, of course, was featured on Gautier's Somebody That I Used to Know.
Yeah,
which,
so even if you don't know that name, Kimbra,
you know
that song.
That she's the woman.
You know her voice.
On Somebody That I Used to Know.
Yes.
She's also done all of her own solo stuff as well. And that track spent 8 weeks at number one on the Hot 100 back in 2012.
I did not know it was there for 8 weeks.
Just 8 weeks. And she's the perfect person to bring up, as she's actually quite key to Drax Project's rise to fame. More on that in just a second, because it's now time for our interview with Drax Project.
Yay!
The four-piece band stopped by the office recently for a really super fun and interesting chat about their breakthrough hit, Woke Up Late, featuring Hayley Steinfeld, and their beginnings in New Zealand. Truly, their origin story is just amazing. Four music students who were quasi-discovered thanks to busking and playing bars and gigging.
It sounds like not 2019, but like 1989 or something.
Yes, it is truly the old-fashioned way of doing it. They made an EP because they knew a friend in college who was working on a project that needed to make an EP, and so they're like, hey, we'll make music on this EP for your project thingy. Then Universal Music became aware of them because they wanted to do a cover of Kimbra, and Kimbra, I guess, was a Universal Music artist there in Down Under in New Zealand. And then they got signed through that because Universal was kind of like, hey, you guys are great.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so crazy.
Yes.
And while all this was happening, they were all still working full-time and part-time jobs, like painting houses. One of them was like a nanny or
hearing
something.
Hearing
themselves on the radio while they were working their mm-hmm. part-time jobs. It's just really a sweet, sweet success story.
Yes.
We also talk, of course, all about how Woke Up Late came together, their songwriting process, how Hayley Steinfeld got on the track, their great, fun music video featuring Liza Koshy, and its mini Easter eggs, mm-hmm. How they're finishing up their forthcoming album, and so much more. It's really, really a super fun chat. So take a listen to our interview with Drax Project. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Drax Project.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So just because there are four of you and two of us, and the people listening are not seeing you because it's a podcast. Can you go through and say hello and introduce yourself and say your name so we can get familiar with your voices?
Yeah. I'm Matt. I'm the drummer.
I'm Ben. I play guitar.
I'm Sam and I play bass.
And I'm Sean and I sing and play the saxophone sometimes.
Oh, oh wow. Ooh la la. Did you bring the sax with you?
No. Unfortunately.
Pocket sax. Yeah. Whip that one out.
We're looking for some.
In fact, we actually have one right
here.
Yeah. Well, America is just starting to get to know you guys through your single Woke Up Late, featuring Hailee Steinfeld. It's climbing our pop songs airplay chart as we speak. Which is very exciting. Mm.
Keep climbing.
Keep on climbing. What's it been like to see the song catch on in the U.S.?
It's been pretty amazing, yeah. Obviously.
It's quite surreal, really.
You're still, it's been terrible.
Yeah. especially Woke Up Late. The song's been around for a while. We released it in 2017 just without, like, Hailee, just through ourselves. And, like, a lot's changed for us since we did that. We got to tour Europe with Camila Cabello based off of that song. We opened for Ed Sheeran, and now that we're here in the States, doing like podcasts.
You're gonna open for Beyonce. I like the way you go from like Ed Sheeran and Camila to you guys in a podcast. I'm like, don't even.
This is the first podcast we've ever done as well.
Yeah, this is the first one.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
It's great. Yeah, it's awesome. So it's cool. Yeah, just getting invited to do stuff in different places, see different places around the country and meet different people through like basically one song at the moment. You know?
Yeah.
We've got more coming, don't worry.
But at the moment, basically
one song. It's really amazing.
Wow.
And you're here like around Coachella weekend, right? That's why you're in Southern California. How long are you here for? Are you typically back in New Zealand for most of the time?
We are typically in New Zealand. We live in Wellington.
Okay.
We're basing ourselves in Los Angeles for a couple of months to finish an album. And
that's where everything's going down, all the producers, all the...
Yeah.
Feels like this is the hub of pop music for
the
world.
We like to think that.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Don't let those crazy big-headed LA people think that this is the hub.
Yeah, right.
We know it's Wellington.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it actually is, though.
See?
Wellington's the hub.
Shout
out Wellington.
You mentioned that the song originally came out in 2017 without Hailee. So how did Hailee end up on this new version that we know and love?
Was this just like an A&R guy saying, it would be great in terms of commercial viability?
Maybe there was that part of it, but Ben mentioned the Camila tour before. And I think there were some mutual friends that we made on the tour. And
everybody at that level knows everybody. Hailee knows.
Yeah.
Probably Beyonce.
Yeah. Probably.
And we got approached by our manager while we were in Wellington. He asked us if we wanted Hailee on the track. And of course we said yes.
Like, no.
So and she had heard the track and she wanted to be on it. And it was as simple as that, I think. And she sent us the vocals like maybe a week or two after that, or maybe even sooner. It was really fast.
It was quite weird hearing her voice, like, cause we obviously had been listening to that song for about a year before Hailee was on it, so we knew it back to front, we knew exactly how it sounded, and then having someone else's voice singing the bridge part instead of Sean's was, like, absolutely crazy. There's a video on our Instagram of, like, our reactions when we first heard it, and we're basically just screaming and yelling and jumping around, like, it was pretty crazy.
It was amazing.
Because we were massive fans of Hailee's music before.
Yeah.
This was even an opportunity. So,
well, and it's cool how it almost changes like your interpretation of the song, because obviously the lyrics are the same, but then all of a sudden you're thinking that you're getting like the female perspective of the same night.
And we'd always kind of thought that would be like a really cool way to approach the song, but initially it just kind of, for whatever reason, it didn't happen. So it was cool to have that realized.
Well, there's no lady in the band.
Yeah,
unfortunately. No, we were discussing that, thinking like, I wonder if they thought about this second verse or being like, it's like, it'd be great if a woman could sing it, but it's like, well, maybe for whatever reason it didn't work out. And you're like, perfect. Yeah. Like the perfect girl to be on the track.
It gives it a whole new life.
Yeah.
You know, if we believe Wiki,
We'll start with that.
The skepticism is real.
I mean, it's not scandalous or anything. I did do that once, though.
Just do remember that.
With
the underwear model,
I got a lot of good grades
off believing Wiki. So.
Yeah.
We were interviewing One Republic, and on Wiki it says that one of the guys in the band was a former like Calvin Klein underwear model.
Oh, yeah.
And like you can still just see his torso, his faceless torso on boxes of Calvin Klein underwear. And so I was like, if we believe Wiki, he's like, it is true. He's like, I don't think I'm on any boxes still, but that was a thing that happened. So they were like, Wiki truth.
Yes.
Wow.
This is a lot less.
Well, we'll find
like,
out.
This is like Mythbusting.
Well,
yes.
Like,
it was, we honestly should make this a segment of the show, the Wiki Mythbusting for sure.
Sponsored by Wiki.
Yeah.
Wiki Busting.
So if we believe Wiki, two of you, Sean and Matt, started off together busking in Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
What were you playing? Because you were all jazz. Well, three of you were jazz students, and one of you was just a music student.
Right.
So what were you playing? What were you playing on the street? Like a stand up bass and a bucket, or like a cowbell?
So we were playing saxophone, tenor sax,
and I was playing just like a kick drum, a snare drum, and hi hats.
Hey,
like,
and you had a little splash. Thing. You had a little splash thing that we made.
But it was a very like small drum kit, and I'd probably say we're like a live DJ type thing, just going through all these different songs. Sean's playing the saxophone. He's playing like da 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 da.
We get a crowd. We get a crowd.
Yeah, there's big crowds of people. And then we're going to like thrift shop. Anything like top 40.
Careless Whisper.
No, we had a competition. We definitely had a lot of requests.
Oh, did you? You took like live requests?
I mean, like we were busking and we would do anything.
People yell at you.
People just give us some money.
Oh, man, I've never just yelled at a musician.
I know.
To play.
I was like, they should have their creative freedom to play whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their artist vision.
When Sam joined, actually, it was only like 2 months or 3 months, maybe even less. When me and Matt were just busking, the two of us, Sam started playing bass with us, and we had a car battery hooked up to an inverter so we could play and get the bass amp down on the street too.
That seems highly dangerous.
Very loud.
Yeah.
It did leak once.
Yeah, it leaked to the back of my car.
It burnt a hole like in the upholstery of his car.
And one of my nice t-shirts.
Wow.
But it was very loud, very obnoxious, and I feel like that's what helped us draw a crowd.
Yeah. So when did Sam and Ben sort of join the collect? Did you call yourselves Drax Project, or was
we
it just like, we're just two guys on the street?
Well,
it was Drax Project before I joined, mm-hmm. Because obviously drums and sax.
Oh,
Drax.
Sorry. Definitely
yeah.
did not
know. This is where you like input that sound.
Yeah. Don't worry, sound effects will be added later.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and then as Sean was saying before, I joined like maybe 3-4 months after you guys started. And then we played like a bunch of bar gigs and covers shows, basically.
Yeah.
Playing.
Bar managers would walk past us while we were busking and say, hey, come and play at our bar.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Okay, cool, sweet, yeah. Do that.
And then probably, what?
About a year?
About like 8 to, yeah. Well, you actually joined the band before we played our first show with you, like a month or two before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but we were working like together for a couple of months before we actually played our first show together.
Yeah.
But all four of you knew each other.
Well, we didn't actually know Ben. We just had seen him around Wellington heaps.
I knew Ben.
Oh, you knew Ben earlier. But I didn't know Ben. I just knew he was that long hair guy.
You just discovered something.
Yeah. I just knew Ben was that guy with real long hair. Was at every single gig that I went to in the crowd. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I actually opened for Drax Project randomly.
Really?
Yeah, we just got, it was like a one-off type band that just got thrown together for a show.
Wow.
And Drax Project was, were you headlining? I don't know if you were headlining.
No, I think you opened for us while we were opening for someone else.
Yeah.
and this whole time, like, so you started just literally busking, and then people that own bars would walk by and say, yo, come play my bar, and you're like, cool, we're not signed or anything, so yeah, we'll go do that. Or did you already have like an agent or something?
No, we had fully nothing. My personal email.
DIY.
Got it.
Like,
we recorded our first EP at Ben's
Tertiary Institute.
And we did five tracks?
Mm.
Four tracks.
It was for our friend Hamish. He was doing a project, an assignment of recording a body of work. Mm. And we were just like his test subjects. But now we
were both helping each other out. It was awesome.
And it actually came out better than I think we'd probably expect.
We got it mixed and mastered and stuff and released it on Bandcamp.
Off the back of that, we were able to do some New Zealand festivals.
Yeah, we got hit up by Rhythm and Vines, which is like a big New Zealand.
And you were still, did you have a manager at that point?
Nah, not
no. So no manager, no like booking agent, no label. Yeah. And then you put up something on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And then from that,
so yeah,
some festival randomly calls you, say, yo, you want to play?
Yeah. And we, oh my God.
Called The Audience, which was like a, in New Zealand, it was just like a, everyone puts a single up that they want to get funding for a music video for, and it's like a month of voting. People vote for their favorite track, and then the winner got $10,000 to make.
I think it was 10. Yeah,
a video. And we did that. Five. We won that. Whoa. So we made like a little video for this track, and then then we got.
That's such a cool idea.
It's actually crazy thinking back, because we didn't have our manager at the time, but we knew him because he had actually booked us gigs.
Four events.
He was working at a university that we were going to, and he was working the events there.
Hmm.
So we knew him, and we were working like with him, but he didn't want to be our manager.
We just asked him, "Was like, do you think this is a good or a bad idea?" Bad.
He'd just give us he'd give us advice, and then it got to the point where it was like, "Okay, we need a manager," and he'd been giving us advice, and he'd just quit his job, and he was like, "Okay, I think I'm going to do this with you guys, because otherwise somebody else is going to screw it all up." And I've been like giving you advice for this last.
And
like,
he went all in. He went all in on us as well, which is amazing.
And he's still your manager now?
Yeah.
And what's his name?
His name's Mike.
Mike. Does he have a last name?
Mike Ross. That's
crazy. He doesn't have a last name.
Crazy is he's just Mike.
What's crazy is we don't want to talk about his last name.
He should change his name to just Mike. Can you do that?
Why not?
When did you actually sign to a label? Because you're on Universal
in New Zealand.
New Zealand, and here you're on 300 in some capacity, which is very mysterious, that 300. when did you actually get the label deal?
So we did another EP after that first one we talked about on Bandcamp, and we had five songs, and they were all kind of demos, but that got that got us signed. But the very first
that
thing they saw,
the
reason they came and saw us or came and approached us was because we did a cover of Goldmine by Kimbra.
Oh,
we did like an acoustic cover and filmed it in Ben's bedroom.
I like mixed
it. I like that you guys are all just remembering.
Yeah, this is like,
I've been talking about this in ages. I actually forgot that they happened.
Me too. I'm just going with like, I'm like going back in my mind. Okay, then we did
this
that.
This is like 4 years ago.
They approached us. We showed them five demos.
Which we were working on with a guy called Devin Abrams.
He's a producer.
Who produced the
produced this EP.
Mm-hmm.
They saw us, liked the video. Showed them demos. Oh, you guys are good. And then got signed from there for New Zealand.
That's as easy as that.
Yeah, that was after we were with Mike. And then after that, it was like we released the EP and we played a bunch of shows around New Zealand. And we played a lot of like 50th birthday parties and high school balls.
There are a couple of songs on that EP that made it to New Zealand radio, which was the first time that had really happened for us, which was cool.
Yeah.
But even leading up to then, we've been doing like two and a half years of gigs.
That's
most weekends, like around New Zealand, anywhere, like birthday parties, school balls, and then maybe our own little kind of 50 to 100 person show, like our own show.
And then
people pay
$5
to
like 200.
And 250. But we're still like playing like 50-50 covers to originals at this point.
And
even to today, we're still like balancing out the cover. We still do like two or three covers in there.
And we did a lot of opening slots as well. I think that was like a big part of our development and people starting to see us, you know, just around and about, because they'd go to these shows and then we'd open and they'd be like, oh, those guys were actually like good. I'd go to one of their shows.
We'd opened for so many acts, and it was amazing because we got some good slots. Like
everything from like Kate Renata to
you opened for Lord at one point.
We did.
Brian McKnight.
Yeah. What?
Another one.
That was epic as well, because we met Isaiah Sharkey, which is D'Angelo's guitarist.
On the one hand, you're like, okay, Lord, that's a big pop act. You're like, yeah, but you're also like, you were jazz students and you play instruments, so maybe like you would really appreciate sort of a Brian McKnight approach to music.
It was so fun. Exactly.
And they were amazing as well.
So just to clarify, and I didn't mean to fall down a rabbit hole of like, how did you all come together and get signed? But it's super fascinating because you literally did it like the way that most people, I think, don't think happens anymore.
True, yeah.
Like, it's the true old-fashioned way of, like, we were quasi-discovered on a street, but we literally, like, made it happen by playing bars
and then gigging,
and we did it ourselves, and we made an EP because we knew a friend in college who was doing a project, and then Universal became aware of us because we wanted to do a cover of Kimbra, right? Yeah, and they're like, exactly who is this band that wants to cover Kimbra that we have to sign off on? Oh, they're actually kind of decent. Let's sign them. Yeah. And then now you have a hit in America. And, like, this is not how these things work anymore. That's why it's so incredible.
And through all of that, like, up until about a year and few months ago, we all had like part-time jobs as well.
Full-time
or part-time jobs, yeah. Like working other stuff. So
you finally had to let them go to America.
Yeah. Yeah. That was basically how it happened.
2018.
We were Ben and I were painting houses. That was our job.
Wow.
And Woke Up Late was released end of 2017. We're still painting. And while you're painting, you have to listen to music because there's nothing on the radio because there's nothing else to do.
It's a legal requirement.
Yeah, that's a legal requirement. So we're painting away, and then Woke Up Late would come on the radio at least three or four times a day.
That's so bizarre. And, while you're
listening to our music while we're painting.
Someday.
It takes a couple of months for the royalties to come through.
Right.
On Smoko, like having lunch, and we're sitting in my car. The car's not on. Matt's like, I reckon our song's on the radio. And turn the car on, and it's playing on The Edge, which is a station over there. And I was just like, oh, that's crazy. And I changed the radio station, and it was on
the other one.
Wow.
At the same time. We're like, what? And then our boss is like, what are you guys doing?
we're listening to ourselves on the radio.
It's on the radio.
And then we're just buzzing. We painted like twice as fast for the rest of the day.
Wow.
So with Woke Up Late and all your songs, what's your songwriting process like? Since you all play different instruments, like, where does the original idea come from? Do you guys all work together separately?
So wherever the idea might come from, we all have a part to say in pretty much anything. Like, Matt's made melodies, and Ben's made drums, and Sam's made lyrics and played guitar, and I've made drums. I don't know, like, everyone can input their ideas.
Most of the time, like, the very beginning of the process is one person with an idea, maybe, like, a guitar line. We have a lot of, like, guitar lines that Ben's really good and Sean at cooking up. And then Sean will kind of, or any of us, will hum a melody over it.
And usually like a hook or a verse or whatever melody comes from like just mumbling.
Yeah.
Like scatting, I guess.
Mm. We've had, like, this is a song we haven't released yet that we basically wrote in our heads, Ben and I. Ben was just playing this guitar line, and I was kind of like beatboxing the beat to it. And then we kind of like arrange the whole song like right there on the spot, like, oh, that'd be cool, and then we go into the studio with the producer, put it all together, finish all the lyrics and stuff. Everything's equal with the writing.
All four of you share songwriting credit. Do you share songwriting credit universally across all the songs, basically?
Yeah. No matter who puts the input,
it's very Lennon McCartney. Jagger Richards. No pressure. Are all the instruments, when we hear the, because I've listened to the EP that's currently out in America,
cool.
But you've had, like, I think three other EPs in New Zealand.
I think it's hard to find two. If you're in America.
You're probably hiding them.
Three EPs.
Two studio EPs and one which is like a live covers version.
That's right.
So we've done like a bunch of versions of other people's songs, which we have been playing since right at the beginning. And like we were saying before, the songs really aren't the same. They're not straight covers. They're like versions of the tracks.
You can find them on YouTube, I think. Yeah.
When we listen, so like on the new EP, or it's not new, it came out last year, but on the EP in America, are all these sounds that we hear coming from instruments that you're playing, or is it a lot of electronic assistance?
There's definitely electronic.
But it's like stuff. But you're all playing instruments on these songs.
If you're hearing a guitar, it's a guitar. Yeah. And if you're hearing like a bass guitar, it's like a bass guitar.
But the drums are all
fake. A lot of the drums are tracked, but we play it live.
Matt's really good at playing keyboard drums. heaps of people like using pads, but Matt loves
it. I honestly just enjoy the sound of electronic drums more than real drum sounds.
Funny.
I don't know why.
We have used some live drum sounds. Like, yeah. We've played
There's a song
and
called
stuff.
Cold, which was on the second EP, which we released, and there's like quite a bit of live drums on there.
Yeah, quite a lot of live drums.
But I mean, you know, as in most contexts in modern music, I feel like electronic or sampled sounds often translate better to like a a recorded context. And we went, interestingly enough, we were at Coachella, we went to see the 1975. Mm. Oh, and God. I was like, wow, they played some songs that obviously I've heard the recordings of. And it sounds so different live, but it sounds amazing. Like, equally as amazing in the
context.
It's
like you get two songs for one. It's
Two. They were so good.
And it's cool hearing, like, that sampled style for the...
Because Matt does play live drums when we play gigs. Mm-hmm. We all play live. So I guess maybe some people would feel the same way about us. Hopefully. Nowhere near how good they are, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, you've got time.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a bit, too. And for Woke Up Late, the video that you released stars Liza Koshy.
Yeah.
How'd she get involved in that?
Well, she was on our dream list.
Yeah, she was very high on the dream list of actresses to take the role, and she liked the song, which is really important.
So
I feel
stoked.
That's awesome.
So this is her first music video that she's ever done, and she was keen to do it.
You guys were familiar with her, like, YouTube
Yeah, sure, yeah, big time.
Yeah, I used to babysit kids after school. I was a nanny, and they would always be like, do you know Liza Koshy?
Well, you're a nanny, and there were painters. And
I know,
I just
the day
love
job.
All this.
So many good day jobs.
Leave the painting early to go, and then to nanny after.
He's working two jobs.
Yeah.
It's funny, I worked at a youth center as well. I had a similar experience, like the kids showing me like Vine videos of her doing crazy stuff. It was really funny.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway,
she was really enthusiastic. Like, she just loved the song and was like, yeah, I really want to be involved. And like, crazy.
Yeah, it was actually crazy. Yeah. And she's been such an amazing, like, continuing after, you know, she didn't just turn up for the shoot and do her job. She's like, been posting about us like literally every single day on her social media.
You're like, you weren't contracted to do all that. Right. Yeah.
She's just generally like a really lovely person.
She like turned up to our show. Yeah.
We've got a group chat at the moment, and we just send terrible selfies of all of us. Aww. That's all that happens. So we've got some photos that we'll never release.
Liza, please don't release.
I was going to say, she might post them.
Too late
we
now.
We can't actually thank her enough. Like, it's been ridiculous, the amount of support that she's given us. And like, obviously, she helped us so much. Like, the view count is like so massive.
Like, right now it's over 5 million.
And like, we can't, I don't know, we definitely wouldn't have got that with just
funny. We went live on Instagram, and so we went live and we had like a couple of thousand people watching, which is crazy. And then Liza joined us, and then that just went like times 30, like through the roof.
It's like
all these
oh
people.
My God.
Wow.
Yeah.
The
she's
I guess I expected Haley to be in the video, but
she might have been busy
filming a movie or something.
Oh, if she is.
We were going to ask about that. Right, cool. But the physical human embodiment of Haley Steinfeld is not actually in the video. Yeah. Was she just busy doing something else and kind of unavailable?
Schedules just couldn't match up.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Make it work.
She's busy making those movies and getting Oscar nominations.
Exactly.
Yeah. Crazy.
But there is an Easter egg.
If you look closely, I think there's two or three little.
Oh,
two or three.
We only saw one.
We have to go back and watch it again.
So there's a poster in the video, and there's also a shop.
That's the one we saw.
Oh, you saw. Okay. Cool.
The sign,
I paused it and went back. I'm like, what does the fine print say? Yeah, does it say like coffee and tea or established in whatever year she was born? I was like Zapruder-ing it back and forth trying to find. Anyway,
amazing.
What's the third one?
I think you just
maybe
said.
Maybe
I think that's it.
On the
her, oh, okay.
That's it. You just made that
that's
up.
There actually is a hidden one that you probably can't see, but there's like a Polaroid that she sent us, and we put it up
on the mirror.
Oh, that's the third one.
Oh.
But I don't know if you can actually see it.
So she's there. She's definitely there.
And she's always there.
She's always Haley's always there.
You have. Oh, sorry.
No,
your,
you go ahead.
Your EP that we talked about is out, but we were wondering what your plans are for future music. Like, is there a debut?
You're here working on new music.
Exactly.
So
you're working
more
on
music
it now.
Coming.
Album is on the way.
We're
nice.
Very close to finishing an album.
Wow.
And we're very, very excited. It's definitely the best stuff we've worked on.
Are you going to be working with Devin again on this?
Yeah.
Or
he is working with us on some of the tracks, and we've been working with a few different people as well, based in LA. So that's been really cool. Mm. Kind of just different experiences and different things coming out, which is really cool.
The whole mix and matching of like, let's get you in the studio with so and so and see what magic happens.
Yeah.
Sort of
and it's,
that was
and it's
new,
totally
bro.
That, and it's really
so amazing.
Amazing.
We had like 2 weeks at the end of last year where we came over and we did that. I think we had like
12 sessions. 12 sessions. Oh, maybe 11 sessions. We got like 14 songs.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
And so then we went back to New Zealand. Like, we had shows and stuff in New Zealand over summer, the New Zealand summer. And then during that time, we worked on some of the tracks with Devin as well back there.
We have a lot of songs that are sitting there that aren't going to be released on this album, but hopefully will be released like in later albums.
Subsequently.
Yeah. We've got a lot of music that we are writing, and we just need to like fine tune
a
little
bit. Sorry. You go.
I would like to hear what you were going to say.
You go. Better be amazing.
I think I've forgotten what I was going to say.
No.
No, it was okay. So a couple of the songs on the album are actually songs we've been playing for like over a year now, playing them live, and people have started to get aggressive with telling us to release them. So finally they'll be coming out, and
some of them, yeah.
So
some of them will be coming.
That's going to be like half relief, half excitement, most excitement. But yeah,
well, you've road tested really them, so clearly people love them. So you've already worked out the kinks of, you know, like people like them. So.
It's just so hard for us to translate the
live context,
I guess, energy
too.
Of a live gig and make it work in a computer.
Ones, yeah.
But I mean, when you listen to the music, like, it feels like I can envision it on stage, just because I'm like, oh, like, this is like up and fun and live. You can feel how it could be live, and you can feel how like it could translate to real instruments. So I'm sure it's different the other way around when you're trying to sort of translate the live experience to a recorded experience. I don't think that you're losing anything. It'll be fine, you guys.
You're freaking me out, bro.
Are you allowed to say any of the people that you've been collaborating with, or do you feel
you
have no handlers in this room? It's just
say
you guys.
It, and then if you find out you can't say it, this is.
I don't
want to
say anyone specifically and then leave someone out, and they'll be like, "Why didn't you say my name?" And I'll be like, "I just was put on the spot, bro. Leave me alone."
Yeah. Pharrell.
Yeah,
Jay Z.
You just keep saying, "What's that?" Yes,
you
said it. We already mentioned Beyonce like Beyonce. Time, so
I mean, you could have some like amazing, like, I don't know. Like, I keep going back to the jazz thing just because I find it fascinating. But I'm like, maybe you have some like jazz musicians from LA.
That would be cool.
Yeah, we should. We don't at the moment, but that is something that would be really cool in the future to do some stuff with people who play or are from that background. Mm. Definitely.
I just think it's like amazing how like music students who probably dreamt about like making music for a living are actually making for a living and doing it and like traveling the world and actually making cash from it, like, you know, not painting or like being a nanny.
Ben,
like,
honestly, you know, Ben is getting annoying because he every single day, maybe even like two or three times a day lately, he's like, "Boys, we're on the clock. We're on the clock, boys." And he goes around and gives everyone like handshakes, and we're just like, "Yep, we up. We know, Ben."
Focus. It's good though. We need. It's good to have the reminder. Like constant reminder.
It's like constant, ever-present.
You know what? Those 1975. It's interesting because you see all these like pop acts and stuff, and some of them are bands and some of them aren't. But like the 1975, there's no way they're not jazz musicians or whatever they are. They're just the drummers.
They understand. Like,
you know, they've been a band since they were 13.
Yeah.
Well,
and they're now like late
20s. Is that true? 13.
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
They're so good. So it's interesting, and like. The Five Seconds of Summer guys, like, they're great musicians too.
Friends of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Awesome. Yeah. True. And it's amazing to see these people. I feel like now and more over time, like, real musicians are, like, making it in pop more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like pop is more diverse now than it was. Mm. It's not so much like, you know, like.
I mean, that's cool too.
That's cool too. And there's obviously still that, but, like, there's so much different types of music now and. I feel like,
and the availability of music in any genre to somebody just through their phone, like instantly, is crazy. So people get this exposure to so many more,
and it's probably affecting musicians as well because there's jazz musicians all around the world, being able to listen to all this different music, and so they're inspired, I guess, and to make. That too, you know.
Well,
and not
having
just play like bebop, you know.
The classical training and then hearing pop music and being able to figure out how you can translate one to the other is like
there's so many producers that are like metal drummers. It's actually crazy.
Wasn't Max Martin is like an old metal?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said middle.
Oh, metal.
And I was like, what's a middle?
Oh, like metal. Like
he was like in a like, he was like in a hard rock band, like what sort of like hair?
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, you did.
I literally.
Have you guys talked to Max Martin before?
No, I don't think any. No one.
No one's ever met him. He's a ghost.
He did. I remember he did an interview like 5 years back. That was when he won.
Like ASCAP?
Yeah. Something, yeah. He won, yeah, exactly. He won a big prize, and they let him do like a studio, you know, video, and I watched that entire thing.
Wow.
Because you never get to see him.
Yeah. Oh, I remember, sorry, sidetrack.
No, that's fine.
Feel free to like run if you need to get out of here. I remember watching, it was the Grammy Awards, I think, a couple years ago when I think James Corden hosted it.
Okay.
Remember he did that thing where he had like the cutout car and he wanted to do carpool karaoke in the audience?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was going through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
he
was like, oh, we can get so-and-so. And he's like standing like next to someone and like right below him is Max Martin. I'm like, go for Max Martin.
Oh,
ask Max Martin.
He's written all the music.
He didn't even. I'm like, oh my God, what a missed opportunity. You have like
they
the architect of pop music.
Asked him ahead of time and he was like, no thanks.
Probably it was all set.
I'm good.
So I'm like, dude, what a missed opportunity. But no, he hasn't been on the podcast.
Sure, yeah.
But
he's
five
like,
sauce
we've
has,
heard so many like stories about just like how amazing he is. So yeah, he's definitely on the list of people who we would love to work with.
Max, you're
so maybe Max is on this album. Cool.
Right.
He's not.
Next stop, Sweden.
And then what's coming up for you guys this summer? Obviously, the new music, but are you doing festivals? Are you touring? Yeah. Like, just check your website and Twitter socials to find out where you're playing.
We're actually playing a few shows around the States over the summer. We're also going to the UK in about a month's time.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the UK for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're playing Bonnaroo. Here and
have you ever been?
No,
never.
Oh,
and we're really excited.
That's a full-on immersive experience.
Yeah. Right. Really?
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. And we're playing The Great Escape in the UK.
Nice. Which is like new artist festival, which is cool. A lot of new artists.
Awesome.
Yeah. For more information, check out our website.
Yeah.
At Draxproject .com.
/com
Is that a new domain? I don't think that actually exists.
.exe _ Trojan.
Trojan inbound.
Trojan virus.
.exe.nz. No.
.nz.
At Drax Project. Everything at Drax.
Send us your money now. Well, this has been great, you guys. Thank you so much for coming in and doing this.
Thanks for having us.
Continued success with the single, and we look forward to hearing new music, and go see him on the road this summer.
Appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Dance to four, walk to home, awake to dawn, slip to noon, and now one more. Thank you so much to Drax Project. That was an absolute blast. And it was their very first podcast interview.
That's right.
Who knows if since then, because we spoke with them a few weeks ago, they might have put another podcast out, but we spoke with them first.
Yeah, we got them first.
We got them first. So so thank you so much, and we can't wait to hear more music.
Any parting words, Katie?
Just want to make sure to say that this this episode was brought to you by the Department of Tourism for New Zealand. Actually, no, we did not get any money from New Zealand.
What song should we go out on?
Oh, man. We mentioned a lot of artists. Okay, see here, I don't have a song title, but what I would like to go out on is another song from OMC. Anything. Not How Bizarre. Just go out on an OMC song.
We'll surprise you right now.
Bye.
Bye. You planned this since the first time we met. Are you ever coming back? 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 Are you ever coming? It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.